We return to James chapter 4 this Lord's Day morning, and this week we arrive at verse 10. James chapter 4 and verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Dear congregation, back in chapter 1 and verse 27 we read, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. And as we note there, and as we shall note this morning here in our text, sincerity of heart is so vital before the Lord. And we particularly focus here upon, in verse 10, that the Lord focuses on the heart. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. The Lord looks on the heart. You recall those words that the Lord said to Samuel when Samuel came to Bethlehem to anoint the chosen one, recorded for us in 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Yes, he sees everything, but he particularly looks on the heart. He looks within. He looks, he knows. He knows the heart that has been humbled by grace. And dear brethren, be comforted this morning. He knows that you have been humbled by grace, that he has done a work within you through the Holy Spirit. Now James here in this chapter presseth home the need of humbling oneself before the Lord. Now as noted before, there was much pride in the visible church in James's day, which evidenced itself through certain things, as we have noted in this chapter and the previous chapter. There was rash judgment, unguarded tongues. There was envy and strife. There was the evidence then that there was much pride. Well, they were to humble themselves before the Lord, and in so doing, they were to submit to him. Now, in verse 6 and 7, we read these words, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now reading on in verse 8, we note that one who draws nigh to God in a humble, sincere and penitent way, looking to the Lord for mercy, will know the blessing of God drawing nigh to them. Verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. There was to be this humbling. And then he enforces this in verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Well, here is our text before us, and these words are so important, are they not? We will particularly consider today that there were many in the visible church and today who do not know the Lord, and they need to humble themselves. They need to submit to the Lord. But there's also lessons here for us. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Now, as we come to these words this morning, I'd like us to consider, first of all, a seeing God. A seeing God. We note these words. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And then secondly, a bringing low. Humble yourselves. And then thirdly, a lifting up. A seeing God, a bringing low, and a lifting up. Well, let's consider, first of all, this morning. A seeing God. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Dear congregation, we live in the sight of God. He sees all things. And there's times when we're so conscious of this, aren't we not? we suddenly recognize that the Lord sees us. He sees all. He knows all things. We cannot hide ourselves from God. You recall Adam and Eve. After they had sinned, they hid themselves amongst the trees of the garden. Yet the Lord knew where they were. His eye was upon them. And dear friends, God's eye is upon us. We cry out with Hagar, "Thou God seest me." He sees us. He sees all them. He knows all people and knows all things. In Proverbs 15 verse 3 we read, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." Nothing escapes his gaze. He makes the most detailed inspection. You think from time to time inspectors come. Maybe one inspects the books. We have one here each year who inspects the books and the bank accounts. And he makes such a detailed inspection. And he finds out any faults or problems. He knows it all. There's this detailed inspection. Well, God makes this detailed inspection of all things. Charles Bridge wrote, "His inspection of the universe, so minute, exact, and wearied, the ungodly try to forget it, and often succeed in banishing him out of their thoughts. Yet in despite of all their efforts, he does see them." He sees them. How many try to put God out of the mind? Yes, some today, and rightly so, will remember those who gave their lives in times of conflict. But how many of them are just going through a form of religion? And tomorrow morning they seek to put God out of their minds. That's so many do it, do they not? But the Lord sees them all. He knows. Well, he looks on. And he examines. He inspects. He sees what takes place and he notes the way in which a thing is performed. Proverbs 5 verse 21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord and he pondereth all his goings." He pondereth. He weighs. Now the same Hebrew word, polas, is used in Isaiah 26 verse 7. And there it's translated as weigh. Isaiah 26 verse 7, "The way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just." Doth weigh, or could be translated, pondereth the path of the just. He weighs. He weighs it out. The act itself and the spirit in which it was done. He ponders. He weighs. He weighs the action, the word and the thought. And he weighs our actions, our words and our thoughts. In Psalm 139 verse 3 and 4 we read, "Thou compass my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but thou, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether." That's humbling, isn't it? He's acquainted with all our ways. He knows them all and he ponders them all. And he knows every word in our tongue, the spoken word and the word that we keep with him. He knows it all together. He knows the words and the spirit of our words. The psalmist went on to say in verse 6 of that psalm, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it." It's too wonderful, isn't it? How great God is. He's infinite in his being. He's infinite in his understanding, in his wisdom, in his knowledge. It's so wonderful, isn't it? It's beyond our grasp, really, is it not? But it's wonderful. It's amazing, isn't it? He knows all things of all people and all that they have done and will do right now. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. We're all struck, aren't we? When we consider God, how great he is. No wonder we read, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Such effort into praising God. Oh, we need his assistance to to praise him aright. He is so great and he's worthy of great praise. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. And we stand amazed, do we not, in the presence of Christ, awestruck. You know, some of you have gone and you've listened to a choir, and I've done myself, and particularly those choirs where they're trained choirs, nearly like here at Ipsley, isn't it? But a choir, and you're struck by the singing. It's so amazing, isn't it? And you're just taken back. Oh, to be more taken back at God. How great he is. To be struck with amazement. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. He sees, he knows, he knows all things. A seeing God. Oh, to be amazed with our God. Now consider two further thoughts here. As we consider this morning, humble yourselves in the sight of God. Firstly, he takes note of hypocrisy. And then secondly, he takes note of sincerity and further humility. Firstly, he takes note of hypocrisy. Now, James here is particularly considering professors of religion who were around in his day. They were hypocrites. Double-minded, as we note at the end of verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In two minds or in two hearts, there were those in the visible church. Yes, they had this form of religion. They gave lip service to the Lord, but their hearts were for the world. Notice verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Double-minded, two hearts. There were mere professors, many in the visible church. There were many a hypocrite. What is a hypocrite? An actor or a stage player, one that is not truly converted. And there are such in the visible church today. Not all who are in the visible church, what we see, truly love the Lord. Remember those disciples? They were disciples in name, but there came a time when they walked no more. John 6, verse 36. And it's a solemn thought, isn't it? Many today have gathered who do not know the Lord. They're going through a form of religion, many today. Many are belonging to the state church, and they go to church at certain times of the year, do they not? And yet they don't love the Lord. I'm not saying them all, but so many do not truly love the Lord. It's just an act, isn't it? Well, the Lord takes note. And what a thought today, on this day. The Lord is taking note of many in this nation who are just giving lip service on this particular Lord's Day. And yet for a month or so, or for many months, they have no concern to come to a church. The Lord takes note, and he is not mocked, is he? And we need to pray for our nation. There's much of a form of religion in this nation, and there's much atheism in this nation. There's much ungodliness. Many have no concern for God. We need to pray, God, that he would have mercy on the nation and on the church. The Lord takes note of hypocrisy. Now, dear brethren, we've been humbled by grace, but we're not perfect, are we? And the Lord takes note of any little hypocrisy in our hearts. So firstly, he takes note of hypocrisy. But secondly, he takes note of sincerity and further humility. What do we read here in verse 10? Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. He takes note of the one who sincerely seeks him. We can consider in that initial way, the one who has been humbled by grace and seeks the Lord in that penitent way, crying out for mercy. He takes note. Remember, the Lord took note of that publican in the temple? And he was justified, wasn't he, because of the grace of God and Christ's righteousness. The Lord took note, and the Lord takes note of sincerity and humility. You remember Jesus saw Nathanael coming unto him, and what did he say? Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. John 1 verse 47. He wasn't perfect, but he was sincere. And the Lord knew that was the case. Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. There'd been that humbling by grace. Psalm 32 verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. There's sincerity. And the Lord takes note. And dear brethren, be comforted this morning. The Lord takes note that you have been humbled by grace, and that there is sincerity, that there is humility. Dear congregation, we are in the sight of an all-seeing God. Dear brethren, take comfort. Despite our many sins and failings, he knows us to be true. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Despite our failings, despite our sins, he knows that we belong to him. Consider, he is a seeing God. Well, let's note secondly this morning as we move on more briefly. A bringing low, verse 10, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Humble yourselves, to make low, to bring low. Now note this here, humble yourselves. There's activity, isn't there? It's a word for the unconverted, isn't it? Humble yourselves, for by nature there is much pride within. It is a word for the professor in the visible church. They have an outward profession, but do not truly love the Lord. They're to humble themselves. And James is particularly thinking on such here. But then, dear brethren, it's a word for us. For we read in 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6, as the apostle was writing to the brethren, to the flock, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Yes, we particularly consider here in James, it's a word for the professor in the visible church, but we particularly consider in Peter, it's a word for the people of God. Humble yourselves, to make low, to bring low. Humble yourselves, turn from pride, have low thoughts, recognize your need. How unconverted men need to humble themselves. They will not seek the Lord because of pride within. How many think they can get through life without the Lord? Some think, well, I'll turn to the Lord on my deathbed. And what they're saying is, well, I can get through life till then. What pride that is. Oh, that they would humble themselves. Oh, for men to be humble, to draw near to God in a sincere way, as we note in verse 8, draw nigh to God. And that they would then know the blessing of God's gracious presence. And he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. How unconverted men need to humble themselves all around this area. And in this country, how men need to humble themselves. Yet so many will not, for by nature there is much pride with them. But here comes the exhortation. Humble yourself. Well, let's think further, particularly of this word, humble. Tapneo is the Greek word. And it comes from a word to depress. And it means to bring low. In pride, one elevates themselves. in humility, one brings themselves low. In pride, one has high thoughts of themselves. In humility, one has low thoughts of themselves. Listen to the Reverend John Brown of Haddington. Humbleness or humility consists in having low thoughts of ourselves and a deep sense of our unworthiness and weakness and walking according. Now let me say low thoughts in a right way. In a right way. Not being self-piteous, but low thoughts in a right way. Humble yourselves. Now an effectual calling, one is convicted of sin. They have a true sense of sin. They hate it and they grieve over it. And there is this humbling. Remember again the publican, Luke 18 verse 13. The publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. See how he'd been humbled. He couldn't look up. He smote his own breast. He had low thoughts of himself. He knew what the problem was. It was himself and his sin. But he also humbly recognized his need. God be merciful to me, a sinner. He felt his sin. He felt his unworthiness. And he saw his need of the Lord. And oh, that many would today feel their sin, being convicted by the Holy Spirit, feel their unworthiness, and through the Holy Spirit see their need of the Lord. Oh, for this humbling work today in the hearts of many. Spurgeon once told this sermon, rather this story, not a sermon, but a story, of a poor man, and you may have heard it before, but it fits well here. There was a poor man in a small country town who hadn't much sense, but he was a drunkard and a swearer. Once he listened to a poor woman who was singing, I am a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. And he goes on his way and he repeats those words and he was humbled and he put his trust in the Lord and was really converted. We came to the church and he said, I want to join your church. But they in the congregation remembered his sinful way of life and so required some great evidence of a change before they would consider receiving him. But this simple man said, oh, I must come in. But they said, but you are such a great sinner and you are unconverted. Well, said poor Jack, I don't know if I'm unconverted, and I confess I'm a great sinner, but this I know, I'm a poor sinner and nothing at all. But Jesus Christ is my all in all. Nothing at all. See where one is humbled. Nothing at all. My only hope is Jesus Christ. And dear brethren, I say to you, I'm nothing. All that I am is because of Jesus and his love for me. Who are we? Remember the words of the apostle, I am what I am by the grace of God. And any growth in grace, any flourishing in the fruits, any going forward, it's all because of him, isn't it? Remember those words, I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. You see, again and again, the apostle attributed any progress, any growth, any strength to the Lord. I am a poor sinner and nothing at all, but Jesus Christ is my all in all. Oh, for a humbling. We think of unconverted men. Oh, for them to be humbled, who are outside the visible church. But then consider unconverted men who are within the visible church. Oh, for them to be humbled. Much hypocrisy isn't there with them, going through the motions. Oh, for them to be humbled and found at the feet of Jesus. But let's now come to ourselves. We who love the Lord, we're to humble yourself. We're to humble ourselves. Turn again to 1 Peter 5, verse 5 and 6. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exhort you in due time. Yea, all of you, you see, it's a word to the flock as a whole, be clothed with humility. Humble yourselves. We're to humble ourselves. We're to have right and becoming low faults. And we're to turn from any pride. I'd like us to consider at this point three examples of godly men who were humbled in Scripture. First of all, there's Jacob. You remember before he met Esau, there had been that time when they were not together, and now they were going to meet again. He turned to the Lord in prayer and said this in his prayer, Genesis 32, verse 10, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I have passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. I am not worthy. Now when we consider the Lord, he is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honour and glory and blessing. He's worthy. And all the praise is being offered in glory now. Oh, let's join in, for the Lord is worthy. And all will be singing his praise for all eternity. For worthy is the Lamb. He is worthy. But when I consider myself not worthy, what did Jacob say? I am not worthy. See how he was humbled. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and all the truth. Not worthy of his mercies. Yet there's so many, aren't there? Think of all the mercies the Lord has bestowed upon you this week. Your food, your homes, your clothing, strength to go on and serve the Lord. So many mercies, and we're not worthy, are we? We're not worthy of the Lord's blessings. I am not worthy. Not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and of all the truth, says Jacob. Not worthy of his promises. We're not worthy of the promise of eternal life, are we? We're not worthy of the Lord's assistance. I will help thee. What a blessing, we know it, but we're not worthy of it, are we? And it's grace over again and again, isn't it? It is God's grace that he comes and assists. And it's because of his grace he assists us. Not worthy of his assistance. We're not worthy of the way he faithfully deals with us. And he fulfills his word. He keeps his word. He's faithful, isn't he? I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth. Consider it all together. His mercies, his faithfulness, his promises. So blessed they are, yet we're not worthy. So is Jacob. But let's consider another example of a man humbled. Isaiah. Isaiah 6 verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. There's Isaiah. He's been given that vision. He's a sight of the King. He feels so unworthy. Remember Job.